It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis up for another day. Yes. Broadcast insolence.
Happy National Hot Dog Day to Kevin and anyone else who's celebrating today.
Thank you.
I already had one.
Mm-hmm. Good. I knew you would. Make us proud, Kev.
Yeah.
No big deal.
No big deal. Had a hot dog on a hot dog day.
All right. We have got George Will coming up in just a few minutes. We now have to, not only do we have to, yesterday we had, it's like Sesame Street around here. Yesterday we had to learn the difference between would and wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have to know what no means.
Oh, how nice.
This
important lesson in life.
Actually, would and wouldn't and no are also part of the Harvey Weinstein Company training manual. It's a big deal. They have a video on that.
A big part of a lot of companies' manuals in the year 2018.
Would you? Wouldn't. Wouldn't. No. Because the president, turns out, was asked in a spray today by ABC's Cecilia Vega. That spray is when all the reporters are in the room with him. It was a cabinet room.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, do you believe that Russia is still meddling?
Targeting the U.S.
Targeting the U.S.
was the exact word she used, because she put the verbatim out there for everyone to look at, and she said he was looking right at her.
Right. And he had said, thank you, because they were trying to usher everybody out of the room. That's that lady, that Lindsay Walters, who goes, get out! Get out! It's like a fire drill.
It really sounds severe.
It's like it's like when an airplane has an emergency landing and then they start screaming at you to get on the raft. You
I
know,
they
get
don't
out.
Even scream like that. They do. Really?
Oh, sure. Yes.
I would think that they'd be.
You ever seen those videos
firm,
of the drills?
But calm.
No, but there's a lot of like they want to get
know,
your
you
attention.
See the executives who go on these drills and they tell you that what it's like.
Yeah. So this is what. So you got that. You have the lady screaming, "Get out!" and Trump says, "Thank you." And then looks right at Cecilia Vega and goes, no, to answer her question. Mm-hmm. And now the White House is out there going, no. He was saying, no more questions, even though he said no twice.
Well, then she repeated. She said, no, you don't believe that to be the case. And he said, no. But can you just clarify, you don't believe that to be the case? And then he turned to another reporter's question.
Even though they were already screaming to people to get out. I understand now why they're so animated about getting people out of there. Because he's going to start answering questions. You're like, no.
Right. But the White House is, you're right, as you said, clearing it up, saying, no, it was about no more questions. It wasn't, no, Russia is not still targeting, is still targeting.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a whole thing. I don't know what to make of any of it. Just telling you what happens on any given day. This is the big story. There's a bunch of big stories of today. And George Will is one of the guys who made him. George Will, as you'll recall, many, many, many years, a columnist, an author, a thinker, probably one of the most prolific and profound conservative thinkers in America in the latter half of the 20th century. You saw him on television for decades on ABC, starting with Brinkley on Sunday mornings, then moving us all the way up to Stephanopoulos. And
Champaign, Illinois, finest.
Yep. And a huge Cubs fan. A brilliant writer. Is such an enjoyable read when George Will writes something. And George Will has written today about the President of the United States and has said things that you just would not imagine that George Will would say about a Republican president. This sad, embarrassing wreck of a man is what he calls him. We will talk to George Will coming up right after Judy tells us what's happening at the bottom of the hour. Plus, we got Hawks tickets coming your way. Hawks passes, I should say, to the convention. Courtesy of Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Get convention passes at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. And I've got one of your last chances coming up. Let's see, what time is that going to be happening? They didn't tell me. This hour. Wow. This hour. Okay, that's a big deal.
Stay close, as we've been trained to do.
Yes, exactly. Well, I have put a cheesy DJ guy in the closet right now.
Good, thank you.
This is one of the humans I respect the most on Earth, and George Will is joining us right now, who, as I mentioned earlier, has been a voice of conscience for Republicans and for conservatives for the better half of the last century, And for if you've read George, watched his work on television, you know that he has been, and I'm speaking like you're not here right now, George, so pardon me for a second, but he has always been very consistent in, yeah, in his dedication to those central core conservative values. And today you have made some news in our world in which everything is news. So if a Kardashian gets a cold, it is news. But you wrote this sad, embarrassing wreck of a man in an op-ed piece about Donald Trump and his meeting with Vladimir Putin today. And you're getting a lot of pushback, obviously, from other Republicans and people who call themselves conservatives. What do you think has happened here? Why are Republicans so reticent to criticize Donald Trump when it is so obvious, doesn't obviously stand for what they stand for?
Because they're frightened individually and they're frightened collectively. Individually, they're afraid of being singled out by name in a presidential tweet, which, regardless of the merits of the accusation in the tweet, will probably permanently alienate at least a third of their core voters. Which is enough to defeat them in a general election in almost every case. Collectively, they're worried that if the president decides that the Republican caucus in Congress is no longer friendly to him, he will turn upon Congress, campaign against it. This will depress Republican morale and turnout in the fall elections, costing the Republicans control of both houses. That's the basic reason.
Isn't that
It's not that they don't know what they think. Almost all of them are appalled, but they're appalled, shall we say, delicately.
Privately, is that what you hear when you talk with them? That they like his court pick, they like the pro-business platform, the tax cuts, deregulation, that kind of thing, but that they're privately not agreeing with them on a lot of else.
Well, that's right. I mean, they love the court pick, and they, in a sense, they trust his judgment selecting judges because he's promised not to exercise his judgment. He's promised to pick all his court positions will be filled from a list provided by him by the Federalist Society, a very distinguished, now four decades old conservative group. They trust him on the deregulatory agenda because he inherited that from the Republican Party. They trust him on tax cuts, again, because that's Republican orthodoxy. But the wild attack on the mores and patterns and norms of civic discussion in the society, they do not like. They hate the protectionism, because big government doesn't get any bigger or any bossier than it is when it's telling people with tariffs, which are taxes on Americans collected at the border, when it's using tariffs to tell Americans what they can buy, in what quantities, and at what cost.
Let me ask you if you believe, because I firmly believe this, that he really would prefer to have a Democratic Congress because it gives him a foil. It gives him somebody, gives him energy to play off of, because really this is much more about performance art than it is about governing.
Well, I think that you have a point there, although I have a feeling that I don't think this will happen, but were the Democrats to take both houses of Congress in November, by the middle of December he would be a liberal Democrat in the sense that, well, I don't think he has any serious objection. He was contributing to Democrats for 30 years. He was, to say no more, has had trouble articulating conservative principles. So I think he'd find that Chuck and Nancy, as he calls Mr. Schumer and Ms. Pelosi when he's in a good mood, he'd find that he had a lot to deal with them.
That's in your piece today, you talk about the fact that he wouldn't release his taxes. That's kind of coming back up into the conversation here, because it is one of those moments. There are so many things. There's so much flare and chaff, to use an aviation defense analogy here, that so much distraction in the air. We're never quite sure what to look at. We're never quite sure what the target is, whether you're in the press or you're in law enforcement or whatever, if you're looking for a story here or a crime that's been committed. It's very hard. Or what his intent would be. Let's stop short of a crime. What makes him do what he does? And in this particular case, he did not release his taxes. And you make the point, and I think a lot of people are thinking this as well, is there something in there about his businesses being either, you know, well-funded by, or he makes a considerable amount of money from either Russians living in America or the Russian economy?
Well, first of all, we don't know how much money he makes because we don't know how wealthy he is. His estimates of his wealth have ranged from about $3 billion to $10 billion, but he has also said that his estimate of his wealth depends on how he feels on a particular day,
correct,
which is a curious way of calculating numbers. Second, it has been widely rumored that after his fourth or fifth or sixth bankruptcy, I've forgotten quite how many there were, he was understandably found it difficult to get normal prudential financial institutions to lend him money, and therefore he might have been forced to go hat in hand, if you will, to some unsavory sources of money, which would include Russian oligarchs with connections to the Putin regime. That is a speculation, but frankly, it's a speculation that is sensible and encouraged by his refusal to release the tax returns, because in his refusal to comply with this well-established norm of presidential candidates, he is telling us he has something that he wants to keep concealed. So the question is not, is he hiding something, but what is he hiding?
It's interesting. You saw, I don't know if you saw, former CIA Director Leon Panetta also came out today saying that he believes there's something, a Democrat for sure, but someone, he believes that there is might be something bigger that intimidates the president in the presence of Putin, that it is more than maybe just strongman worship or mistakenly used words that, you know, allow him to present one thing here at, in front of Putin and then another thing at home and play both sides or try to, both sides of the fence, that there is something bigger. Do you think it comes down to financial, or what is your belief? If there,
I almost hope that that's the worst that it comes down to, because Mr. Putin might have something. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to speculate on it. That is even more intimidating to Mr. Trump than that. Leon Panetta, vastly experienced congressman, Secretary of Defense, White House budget official, CIA director, vastly experienced man. Temperate and moderate, would not raise these questions if they were not questions now being raised by extremely experienced and serious people.
Well, the president today, you know, he started off our day, and I do like this because there's always something in the morning, and you know, he's feeding us a number of times a day. And he tweeted this morning basically that there are other people, there are other higher people in the intelligence community who are telling him that the Russians weren't the only ones involved. Now, or weren't involved. What, Dan Coats, somebody you're familiar with as well, Indiana, former Indiana senator, and was congressman, then a senator, been in Washington a very long time, a respected guy, was on the Senate Intelligence Committee for a number of years, went over and looked at all kinds of evidence during, you know, whether it was Benghazi or the other stuff, they would send him over because he's got this background in it. And you know, is there somebody higher than him? And, you know, Dan Coats had to defend himself. I mean, who is it?
Yeah, look, I don't know how to say this politely, so I'll just say it. When the president says that unnamed people by the dozens are applauding him, that's just more Trump noise. It has no claim to be believed. We know that the president began his presidency the day after his inauguration with a demonstrable fabrication about the size of the crowd that attended his inauguration. He has not stopped fabricating things since then. I'm trying to avoid the L word, but it's not easy to avoid.
No, it's really not.
In fact, I don't think I'll avoid it. I think when he says that legions of high intelligence people are applauding him, I think he's lying.
All right. First of all, thank you for all of your service to this country and your service to journalism. But I will ask you this. Is this ever going to be okay? Are we going to make it through this?
Well, remember, this is a temporary president because they're all temporary. Thank God for the 22nd Amendment. So two more years, or we're six more years. So we've had some pretty inadequate leaders before. Good statesmen will not always be at the helm, Madison said with considerable understatement in the Federalist Papers long ago. So this country is, you know, there's more to America than the presidency. There's more to American government than Washington. There's more to America than government. So I think the country is healthier than the public sector at the moment.
All right. George Will, we'll leave it there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
appreciate
George.
Your time.
Glad to be with you.
Oh, damn it. I forgot to ask about Javi Baez hitting the home run last night.
Got to engage him on baseball.
Yeah. In the...
Whoops.
Contreras and Baez.
Baez was first. Did Contreras hit a home run, too? Did I miss that?
Contreras hit a homer.
I thought Baez had a homer, no?
Baez had a single. Contreras for sure homer.
Okay. All right.
I'll double check that.
Thank you. Yes. All right.
Maybe he'll call back to clarify.
Hey, George, wait, how about that? Yeah, he would have. Thank God I didn't bring it up. It's even better. Thank God I just bungled into it right here. Speaking of bungling into things, let me bungle into the news. Here's Judy Pilag. Ben Bradley is joining us right now.
Yes.
The WGN-TV newsroom.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ben.
Hey, Ben, you posted a picture of Ro and I's new best friend, Joe Donlan, eating
Ro and I's new best friend. Yeah. I just want to point out that Kevin works at WGN and just said Ro and I's. Yeah.
Yes, okay. I guess that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Joe Donlan was eating some McDonald's on the lawn at WGN headquarters. What exactly was he eating? I was just curious to know what Joe likes to eat for lunch.
Well, it was definitely a value meal. I can confirm that. And interestingly, he went with a medium fry as opposed to large fry, which is not a strategic decision I would have made, because when you do the per fry breakdown, it makes much more sense to go with the large.
Right.
But was it a hot dog? Or was he eating a hot dog?
No, he was eating a burger. I just thought it was such a funny scene. Like, I roll up to WGN, and first of all, no one is ever sitting out on the lawn, because there's, like, Canadian geese that have taken over the entire lawn.
So there's a lot of goose poop.
Yeah, and then there's our main anchor sprawled out on the lawn eating a Happy Meal.
Good for him.
So, you know,
taking
I did what all good coworkers do and took a picture and posted it to social media.
It's too bad he didn't invite you guys, your new BFF, to sit down and have a little burger with them. That would have been fun.
I love Happy Meals.
Nothing
the
better.
The perfect portion.
Right.
Just the right
for
amount of
for someone like you, I could eat like five Happy Meals in one sitting.
Right.
Pro tip, though, say no yogurt or apples, extra fries. And then you get a small fry instead of the baby fry.
I think the last time I ate McDonald's was when I used to do the early morning weekend shift at Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
And if hypothetically you had a few drinks the night before and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to have something to soak this up.
Right.
You'd roll through the Rock and Roll McDonald's at 3 o'clock in the morning, the drive-through.
Hey, R. Kelly, move your car!
I'm like,
that was his favorite spot.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll have an Egg McMuffin. Sir, it's still dinner time.
Oh, well, they fixed that, though.
Yes, yes.
Breakfast all day.
Yeah. Right, they have fixed that.
Willie Wilson, a big fan, proponent of that.
Yeah.
He's, what did he say? He told us the hotcakes. Hotcakes are the best.
Right, well, they are, by the way. I would say, I would put up the McDonald's hotcakes against almost every other pancake you could imagine. I don't care about your IHOP, Hop. I don't care about the rest of them. I think McDonald's is the best. You get the McDonald's. Here's what you do. You get that. You get the big meal with the scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And the scrambled eggs, you put them in between the two hotcakes, and then you pour the stuff over it.
Well,
and
they got the syrup right. Wow. There's no question.
Is that a Rokan McMuffin? Is that your version of it?
Yeah. I'm telling you, they ain't nothing like that.
As for the Rokan, when you go through the drive-thru,
exactly.
See what happens.
Comes on a little styrofoam tray.
Exactly, which will, by the way, still be in existence 1,500 years from now.
Uh-huh. Well, go back and visit it with your grandchildren if you don't
need it.
What?
Welcome to McDonald's. How may I help you?
Sorry, like, I would like the big breakfast with extra hotcakes, please.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what?
Hot apple pie on that order?
No, I don't want a hot apple pie.
They do offer. They try to push that a lot.
They
push
a lot.
It just feels very pushy.
They just push a lot.
Because
you don't
think of it. The upsell. Yeah.
Yeah, there's always an upsell. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the new Rock and Roll McDonald's, we should mention this, is
very non-rock and roll.
It is wild looking. Whatever it's going to be the new sort of McDonald's. It's going to be the...
Their new concept place or something?
It'll be a concept store, like a concept car, at the auto show. Mm-hmm. Chicago, the home of McDonald's, will have this thing where the Rock and Roll McDonald's used to be. There's no longer a guitar and all that. If you've not been downtown, it's not open yet.
And this is replacing the new Rock and Roll McDonald's, because that other one didn't last more than couple years.
Right, and then, well, and then they redid the Rock and Roll McDonald's, yeah, and they made it, you know, nice. And then they've torn the whole thing down, started from scratch, and it's wild looking. Every time I drive by it, it's like it's all glass and steel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it's not going to have any seats. It's mostly going to be just a grab and go.
That's probably
well,
a strategic
it's always been
decision.
A grab and go. Yeah. If Kelly was there, but you know what I mean.
Lots of things it was known for.
Yeah.
When the proms poured out there, watch out.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Did happen.
It's a tough deal.
But it, you know, that's what the new headquarters, the new McDonald's headquarters, the former Harpo Studios has become. Mm-hmm. You go in, you get your little touch screen, and you make all your ordering by yourself. You can go to an attendant if you want to, but you go up to the screen and you get it all done, and then you show up
and you can get a couple
out.
Of foreign McDonald's delicacies like the mixed squid and some.
Oh,
other
do they
things.
Have that now? The mixed squid.
I may have made that up. But
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that there was like a BBQ Korean barbecue or something, something from
burger.
Japan. Yeah, the black bun burger. Yeah.
What's
Japan.
A black bun?
I think it's the squid.
It's just not a white.
By the way, I don't want one.
I think it was seaweed based.
But that's in your neighbor. They have that thing, right?
And yeah.
But don't you have to go in and fake a British accent to order in there? Because it's like
tight roll your jeans.
It's the exact opposite of what we're doing in America right now. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of nationalism.
I
it's internationalism.
Some, like, purple Oreo cone in a chocolate cone. It looked so good. I saw it on social media. I want to go get it. I don't know much about it, but it looked good.
Be a lot of your marketer's dream come true.
Oh, my God. Is she ever? She
the
ever.
Black bun burger, by the way, has fried onions and chipotle flavoring. And the black bun is dark, but it doesn't really affect the flavor. So, check it out.
And McDonald's gone fresh, too, right? With the meat? Isn't that what their new thing is? They're doing fresh, not fried, not frozen?
I like frozen.
I like frozen myself, too. It's a little safer, if you know what I mean.
Some things.
It's always the restaurants that were fresh the whole time, where they would have an outbreak of something. And
exactly.
They were like, hey, wait a second. What happened there? All right. Well,
I love that we actually do have a little meeting where we talk about what we're going to talk about during this segment. We never actually talk about it.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
I've never been a part of that meeting, so I have no idea what this is. I do want to ask, by the way, I got a solution. If you have a problem with Channel 9 with Canada geese.
Yes.
Up on the lawn there. It's a beautiful lawn. It's beautiful. It is a throwback when you drive by Channel 9. First of all, it's hidden. You have to know how to find it.
It's like a little campus back there.
Yeah.
But it's like you just imagine like 1962.
Mm-hmm.
And you imagine like, oh, look at the bright big, this is television, 1962. Mm-hmm. Big glass steel modernist building.
Yeah.
And lawns around it. And all this property and a gigantic satellite,
a helipad
and a satellite dish.
Asbestos in the ceiling, lead in the paint.
Why'd you have to go there, Ben?
Exactly.
I think anyone with a child under 10 knows exactly where it is because all the birthday parties are tucked into that little place. They got the fun zone, the gymnastics place, the little
anybody with a child over 40 knows where it is because they had to take their kid
to Bozo
Circus.
That's true. Yeah.
So here's my idea. They should get a guy. I'm sure the Bozo outfit is still around there somewhere. They should maybe be you, Ben. They should have an employee of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Put that thing on and then run out and scare the Canada geese. like a dog does. A golf person is a dog.
That would just be like our owl.
Right. Run around screaming. Or just put a Bozo on a stick out there. like a scarecrow to keep them away. How about that?
And I'd like to clarify the ice cream I was talking about. It's a sweet potato ice cream in a black cone that tastes like Oreos.
Oof.
Oh, that sounds good. I don't know why. That sounds really good to me.
from the creators of the Big Mac, so I think that's
Dippin' Dots, I hear. It's the ice cream of the future.
All right. What's coming up on your...
Tonight at 9, I'm very excited to take you inside the old Joliet Prison, the place made famous by the Blues Brothers. It was built in the 1850s. It's been closed now for 16 years. There's been a lot of vandalism. There's, ironically, been people breaking in to the old prison.
They didn't get it, did they? They just didn't understand. Yeah.
Joliet's had kind of a love-hate relationship. You know, do we want to be known as a prison town for a while? Absolutely not. They did their best to distance themselves. Now the Joliet Area Historical Museum has worked out a deal with the state where they're actually taking control of the property in a lease agreement, and they have had volunteers in there cleaning it up. For the first time, we're able to take our cameras inside and show you what decades of decay has done to this building. And
oh, it's creepy as hell.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. We're showing some of the video on CLTV right now, and we are excited to show you even more tonight at 9 o'clock. We'll show you what's going on inside the old Joliet prison and tell you if that's your sort of thing, when you might be able to go inside and see it for yourself.
Well, they'll do what they do with Alcatraz. They'll make it into a museum, or they will... Or is that, they made it a haunted house, right? Wasn't there like a whole Halloween thing you could do in there?
Well, that'd be scary.
They have used the grounds over the years for some of that stuff, but we're talking about, you know, going inside, seeing the cell houses, seeing the tiers as we did, and you know, they are in bad shape. But boy, is it interesting and fascinating to see. I mean, think about the inmates back in the 1850s quarrying the limestone themselves and then essentially building
their
prison
own prison
walls around them.
And the people have died in there. And and it's not Stateville. The people should not confuse this. Stateville is still in operation.
An equal amount of decay, you could argue, but yes.
Yeah, but Stateville is a separate prison. But Joliet doesn't want to be known as a prison town. What would it like to be known as? I mean, let's think of some other things it's contributed of late. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
No takers.
We had nothing
on that.
To say on that.
Yeah. We'll see you tonight at 9.
They do have a nice little downtown, and I love the Rialto Square Theater.
Now you're trying to just be nice.
I'm backpedaling now. Mm-hmm.
Did I say would? I meant wouldn't. Wouldn't or would?
Did you say yes or no? It's
no.
A nice town.
I said no to you, Cecilia Vega, but you are hot. All right. Thank you very much, Ben. We'll see you tonight at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 on the WGN-TV News. Go take my idea of hanging Bozo and Effigy out in the parking lot and see if that works out for them. All right, he's walking away. Now he's just walking away. Now he's just like, I'm done.
He just took his microphone off and his earpiece and everything.
He did that thing where he cut him off.
He's not having it.
he ripped it off. Glenn Beck. He ripped off his stuff. I'm done with this interview.
The Steel City from the 815 row. The Steel City.
He doesn't mess around.
Mm-hmm. Steel bars. Although they have casinos. And that's a nice little the downtown. There's two blocks that are pretty nice, but they could use some work.
Two blocks.
I mean, that's a lot. Two blocks.
Two blocks
in a small town.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
Steve Cochran Show. Let me tell you about that. Tune in tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m. to hear updates on the mysterious eggplant harasser.
Yeah, right now. Right now, I got... Hold on a second. What's going on with my music here? This is exactly how I lost my job in Tupelo. Some United O'Hare. That, too, because there's no O'Hare in Tupelo.
You still hit the mark, though.
I did. I hit the post. Hold on a second. Let me start over again here because we have a commercial that we missed, and that has created everything. Give me a whole new song here for this. All right, on the other side. If you need new windows or doors for your home, call the company recommended by Lou Manfredini of House Smarts Radio. Call Gilkey Windows. Gilkey manufactures the highest quality vinyl and fiberglass windows in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now for a limited time. Get $250 off fiberglass for vinyl windows, $700 off patio doors, no interest financing for 12 months. Call Gilkey at 888-3-GILKEY. That's 888, the number 3, G-I-L-K-E-Y. All right. Now.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Right now, I'll be calling number 19 to 312-981-7200. To win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through 29th, courtesy of Matinasium, TG Live to Man. Book your convention passes and hotel guest rooms online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. It's now 79 at O'Hare. Here's what we have. Feel a lot better right now. Yeah. This takes a long time. I used to tell my family history during this song.
Yeah, where did you grow up?
I don't really remember. My family were circus folks. What are you doing with my song? Bring it back. What are you doing?
You had a lot more story to tell. Did you celebrate a National Hot Dog Day? Grab anything on the way? I guess you don't go to work.
I don't know. I had my way to where?
It's a disaster today.
Things are a bit of a disaster. Just keep the song up. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it for you. Here.
He dipped into the Jack Daniels a little too early.
Yeah.
I did, because I got, you know, I have that eye of the tiger. Because I got to make everything about the music.
He's talking to the producers like he's got some. He's messing up the board. Radio guys just...
I got trouble right here right now.
You do. You're losing it.
I know.
If you ever had it.
All right. You know, that, thank God that thing toned. All right, here we go. Steve Cochran Show celebrates... Now you can lose your music now. All right. Jeez. Steve Cochran Show celebrates us for every person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio and tune in. What the hell's tune in?
Stay close. It's kind of the same.
Judy Tuesday's got the music and the news coming right now. I actually like this song until I got arrested listening to it.
What'd you get arrested for, cheesy DJ guy?
I can't remember. So many times I've been arrested.
Oh. It's funny how a song just takes you right back.
It is. Is it not? All right, Tom Skilling is joining us, brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems.
Hello, guys. I love this disc jockey thing that's going on today.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
this does it remind you of people you might have come across in your career?
It reminds me of me, you know, and all of us who started, you know, with disc jockey and all the rest. Yeah, you always tried to affect your voice so that, isn't that funny? It took you about 3/4 of your career to learn to just talk like yourself. And
I know.
You know?
I know.
Instead of trying to deepen the voice. Although I remember that we had about a 3-foot, 8-inch newsman up in Madison who had one of these. He'd say, "Hi, how are you?" And then the mic would open up and he'd do the news and the walls would shake. You know, it was just
yes.
One of these amazing voices. And I didn't know he just started working. I'd heard him on the other station, but I didn't know what he looked like up there.
Yeah, they never look at your favorite radio personalities. That's what I've learned.
Well, even some of these smaller framed guys who have these deep baritone voices, like Alan Katursky comes to mind from ABC News.
Right.
I mean, you'd not at all what you'd think when you see him because he's slight. He's, you know, he's in build.
Yeah.
And then his voice is so deep.
I know.
Just a great set of pipes.
You know, and I remember when I first worked with John Drury over here. And, John Drury was the guest speaker at our graduation in high school. And I was elected the class speaker. And I was scared to death thinking, you know, standing on the stage with John Drury. But I worked with him years later. And I didn't realize how tall he was until... Yeah, they had the anchors walk over to the weather set, and you kind of looked up at him and said, "Hi, Mr. Drury." You know, and you felt like you were real little. But
John Drury was like, this is not political, this is just a physical thing. It was like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
He was like Ronald Reagan's size. He kind of looked a little like Ronald Reagan. He kind of had that sort of, and he always had that look in his eyes like Ronald Reagan has, like, I'm not really listening to a word you're saying, but I'm nodding in agreement. Right. It's got that kind of thing that's going on. Like, I'm kind of taking a measure of you, but not listening because I'm not that interested.
Well, you know, it was funny. I remember we were doing a promo shot one time years ago here with Bill Frank. We had Len O'Connor and John Drury. And Len was complaining about the time it was taking to get this shoot done. He's saying, "Well, come on, we gotta get this thing going." And Drury starts laughing.
What did Len O'Connor have to go do?
Yeah.
What was he in a hurry to go do? It took him an hour to get a sentence out of his mouth. What was he worried about?
I got such a guy. It was interesting watching him because I'd grown up watching him on Five, you know, back in the the old days with the big who was it? Floyd Calbert.
Right.
And so he was complaining about the time it was taking to shoot this promo, and Drury started chuckling, and he says, "You know, Len," he says, "now I know you're using muscles that you've never used before to, you know, produce that smile that's on your face, but if you can just, if you can hold up for another, you know, 5 or 6 seconds, this will all be over." And O'Connor says to him, "You know, Drury, I'll say the same thing to you that I said to Floyd Calbert, and that is, who asked you to come from Omaha?" You know, and it just...
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, it gets ugly.
Oh, man.
It was something. But I'll tell you, there are amazing moments in our business, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, there really are. And it's not always how it seems.
No,
you know?
Show business.
It just really isn't. But did they ever work with you on your voice earlier in your career? Did you have a great broadcast voice from the start?
Oh, gosh, and I don't think I ever thought my voice was that great. You know, I went through that whole routine where you tried to affect your voice and sound like a disc jockey, and I listened to tapes of that. I don't have many, thank goodness.
You burn them?
But, yeah, I hope they're burned, but wow. But when I hear you doing that, Ro,
I wasn't even close. I had no.
You had no voice.
I tried.
Like
it was like, I almost time to start.
I know you
like
and
this.
Me both.
It was kind of.
But
like,
didn't you try? Didn't you have the put upon voice because you thought
really.
You needed to?
Well, you know what I did when I was doing music in college radio, which is really the only time I ever did music was in college radio.
That's what I did. Yeah,
a real
in high school,
college,
too,
and then I worked for Loyola for a summer because I needed people to fill in their radio station. So I tried that. I think a couple of times. I must have tape of it somewhere from 88.7 The Hit Line. But it was still like, and then here's with
I know.
Hold on to me on 88.7 FM The Hit Line. Yeah. And that's where you just had to make. But then you had, you know, that we had carts and they had, and there was a timer on it. You could, you know what the post was.
Oh,
you had to hit the post. You had to do this whole thing. And I just, and eventually when I got into the business, I realized, you know, being on the air, it's like, I can't be anybody else other than whatever this idiot is inside my cassette.
Well, see, you learned that early. Because it took me years to figure that out, you know? And it.
Well, I did, too, because I had the high-pitched, squeaky voice coming out of college.
You don't have a squeaky voice.
Well, now, but, in the beginning, I remember I had to do radio and television at my first job.
Sure.
And I remember the radio news director pulling me aside and just, read from the newspaper, try to make it interesting, keep reading the newspaper over and over again aloud in front of the mirror at home and, work on it because it doesn't always come out the way you expect.
You know, I had a friend who worked he was finishing up at Northwestern, and he was working as a summer replacement engineer at WLS, and he had worked at a bunch of WJJD, the old WJJD, and CFL and on, and we would sit for hours, and he'd tell you about the Larry Lujack and all the people who were on the air at the time, and it was amazing. I'm trying to think. He would get these tapes of the jingle packages that from Pam's and the jingle companies, and and we would be listening to the Christmas jingles in August, and I thought that was so cool. But I remember he got an outtake tape of Lyle Dean doing from the Big 89, and I saw Lyle. I was telling him about this a couple weeks ago down in Bloomington at the Illinois Broadcasters get together, and Lyle is such a nice guy. He's such a quiet, almost shy. He's very quiet, and yet, how many people in radio didn't try to
sound
emulate
like
that amazing voice of his?
It is funny because Lyle Dean was the three great radio stations of that era. Obviously, were GN, BBM, and LS.
Yes.
And we still are, by the way, in case anybody's looking.
Right.
But the sound, because of AM, it had that shaky sound. It had that sort of, it felt like it was vibrating because that's how the AM signal works.
Sure.
It vibrates the earth to create the signal.
Yeah.
So everything has got that kind of deep sort of thing. And then I thought, and I was so intimidated by that when I was starting.
Mm-hmm.
But then my newsman for years and years and years, Jim Johnson, he had a wispier voice than I did.
Yeah.
But he found a way to go and just deepen on at the end of every sentence.
Uh-huh. That
so
helps.
That and then would shake, because it would go, you go from Lyle Dean to him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lyle Dean is like literally it's like Moses on the mountain.
I know.
God, kind of, and then you would go to Jim Johnson, who's kind of like here, and he'd say, WLS News Time.
419.
How is that
what
possible?
A good trick.
And it is, and it's, and it, you know, it, it kind of is what it is. But it is a it's fun to hear that if you're a radio geek, and I guess we're all kind of
we are.
Yeah,
yes.
You wouldn't be in this business if you weren't.
No, that's right.
Which is kind of the key. That's the one thing where everybody, you know, when you have these radio conventions, which is, you know, just basically a satin jacket factory. When you go to, you know, things like that.
Is that the fashion of choice?
That's the one thing everybody agrees on. You saw this happen. We were at, when we were with the ABC News guys during one of the convention dinners we were at. We were at, after the thing was over, and we, and, oh, wait, hold on one second here.
Somebody's having a side conversation.
Judy's talking to somebody else. They, so I sit, I'm sitting.
I'm sorry, did you need me?
Yeah, no, we need you to turn your microphone off. That's what we need you to do.
We were eavesdropping, Judy.
Or else turn it way up. It might be interesting.
That's weird.
It was off.
I can hear.
Okay, what about you?
I hear them.
Yep, I hear you.
We hear you.
We hear you.
It's not me. It's not
we can hear you.
Why
are
you thinking like Jasmine, me? The producer.
It's not me. Hello. I'm a professional because I also started out as a DJ. Thank you.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2.
Did you really, Judy?
Wow, I think that's Marsha.
This is going to end poorly.
They must be in the other studio.
Except me.
Yeah, it is the other studio.
You know, I was on with Steve and Johnny the other night. They were filling in, and they had this. There was, like, audio leaking in, and nobody could figure out where it was coming
from.
Well,
we're in a new studio with a new board.
Sure.
And you can't always identify
the source.
Particular source.
Yeah.
That's right. So you're searchful.
But you can always be sure it's not me.
Hover the dump button here. You know,
I think we figured it out.
I saw engineering run.
Yeah,
dashing over there
because it's something that's unmarked on the board. This is all relatively new, but this is the kind of thing that gets somebody sued.
The
or
unmarked
fired.
Mic. That's fun. That's a game you could play. Yeah. Who's sitting in that room?
Wow, that was very close.
I hope I'm never in that situation.
Oh, you will be. We all find ourselves in it at some point.
No, I'm saying being, you know, the mic being on in the room when I don't know it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they say never walk into a room that has a microphone in it.
Right.
And expect it to be off.
Yeah.
And they tell you, you know, if you've got a mic on, be careful what you're saying.
Hold on one second. Hold on. Is there one more, or is that you?
You know what? This is a monitor behind me.
Okay, good. All right, good. Because this now I'm scared because I don't know
where it's coming from.
I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't know what to say. And are we still on the air? I don't even know.
I know.
Where were we? Well, we were talking about Radio Geek thing. Mm-hmm. I spent an hour at this dinner. We had just gotten done.
Was it the convention?
It was in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia side of the convention, and we were done. And we go back to the hotel, and these guys are having us for dinner. We're sitting around, we're talking, and it's at that point it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, but nobody's eaten. And I get into this conversation with a radio engineer. Mm-hmm. Don't ever do that, by the way, if you have an opportunity. If you find out somebody's a radio engineer, run the other way. But we got so geeked out about reverb.
Oh.
It was an hour-long conversation about reverb.
Yeah.
And about the use of reverb, that sound, that echo sound, that radio stations would use, because there were certain, and I won't bore you with the details, but there were certain stations that actually had proprietary product, proprietary reverb, that they would put, they would have it in the studio, and then on their transmitter site, they would create that sound so they could differentiate between the voices and the music. I was so into it, because I'm like, oh yeah, that's what that was when I was a kid. You hear things, and you're like, connecting it, and then I stopped, and there was one moment where Anna looked at me, and she goes, I'm going to my room.
In other words, you probably need to, too.
But you know, that stuff is fast. I had the same story. You know, I talked with this friend of mine about the nature of the AM signal versus FM or television. I learned so much from him. For instance, a 5,000-watt radio station at WIND's frequency would have the same aerial coverage as then WCFL at 1,000 megahertz or kilohertz. And the higher the frequency, it affects how far the signal goes and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And do you know what's interesting,
too? So the lower the frequency, the lower you are in the dial position, the wider you can go.
Right.
At
with less power.
With less power. But that's why the 500 is still kind of bad, but that 670 signal in Chicago literally blows into Cuba.
Wow.
Like a local at night.
Wow.
Are we going to be quizzed about this at the end?
Yes, there's a test coming.
These are things you should know, Violetta.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. All right, you know what? I'm going to end this geek session now.
I think Violetta's
made
it.
For the first time ever, Violetta made a point that I agree with. So I'm going to let that happen.
See, Tom, when you started doing this disc jockey thing, you got us all thinking about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, I'm going to know how you say it. I wanted to talk about that, you know, 50,000 watt blowtorch.
Right, that's right.
Yes, sir, that's what we used to call it.
Yeah.
They never really let me work on the AM, though.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, that was for professionals. And people who actually kept their license.
You know, are you related to Creepy, by the way? Because it sounds like you're in the same basement.
I'm going to tell you something right now. He is my uncle.
I thought there might be a family, you know, relationship.
We don't
there.
Get as many visits from Creepy Uncle right now because the basement is so much farther from our 18th floor
studios. No, I'll tell
is
you why.
It?
Let me tell you
I
why.
I thought that was what it was.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why we don't get so many visits from Creepy
why
Uncle.
Why is that?
Because the news is basically like being written by him. That's why.
Oh, that's what happened.
I can't figure out how to make that character relevant in this era.
He's working for the AP now.
Yeah.
He's just sort of sending out stories to us. We're like, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
I know that byline.
All of his theories would be real news headlines that we're reading right now.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, it's almost, this is the currently, we're almost getting killed on news or ruse. Because you're like,
great news, no ruse. News, no, I swear that's ruse.
Yeah.
President says he agrees with Putin, not his security people, right?
His intelligence officers, right?
That can't be.
No.
But it is. Yeah. You know, just
Exactly. All right, Tom. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay,
I won't be here tomorrow. Pray for me, Tom.
I know. Good luck with your procedure.
I'll let you know all about it.
We want to hear.
Yeah.
Every last. I know Anna's sitting on the edge of her seat waiting for every last detail.
I've asked him to call in shortly after the procedure.
We'd like video with it too, or at least pictures.
I'm having my my prescribed you turn 50 colonoscopy, and it's
good for you.
Yeah,
it is good for you. That's
it. And so I'm trying to do it on my story. What do you call that, Violetta?
On the Insta story?
On the Insta story. I'm going to try and do it on Insta story.
You might get a lot of views, but that's not really what it's used for.
Do it. Countdown to the colonoscopy. Gosh.
When do you drink this stuff, Tom?
Right when I get home, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. But just think, right after the show tomorrow night, you can... You know, or after you're done tomorrow, you can go and have a marvelous meal.
Yeah. And you, but you feel great for the rest of the day because whatever the drugs they give you, they're just spectacular. It's a happiness for the rest of your.
That's why I want you to call on this show.
Yeah.
All that.
Yeah, I got that
bursting with happiness.
I will,
feeling.
And that's the problem. It also, it takes all your inhibitions away. Well, like a martini.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, I am more.
So
than,
you go through this regularly, then?
Is no, I've just I've done it once before. I did a thing. I've been on this drug once. This to get like a dental thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or actually a couple times, like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff that they use, and I love it. I really truly enjoy it.
Worries me a little
it does.
Bit. I don't know. You shouldn't like it then.
Oh no, it's great. It's it's Versed and fentanyl.
Mm.
Yeah. And just
the combo.
Just a little bit of Valium, just to kind of take the edge off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It's real nice. I'm trying to make it at home, but they told me it's against the law. All right, Tom. Thank you very much.
A successful procedure, and we'll talk to you day after tomorrow, Ro. See you, Anna.
See you, Tom.
Jeff Skilling brought to you by Permashield Basic Systems.
See you guys.
Thank you. All right, Judy, tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanchis right here on 720 WGN. I got my EDM on.
Very nice.
I'm EDMing myself right now.
And the ADM music sort of keeps the cheesy radio guy away because it's not really his era.
He doesn't understand
it
at all.
To say.
And there's no post to hit, so he doesn't know what to do with it.
Like, how much talking do I do here?
Right, I don't.
You know, what do you do?
I don't know what it means.
It's all music and
that's
electronic.
When you do the fist bump and go up.
Here's what I can tell you, though. Archideck of Chicagoland is heating up your backyard. Archideck of Chicagoland giving you one lucky listener a sizzling backyard makeover, including a 14-foot diameter patio, wood-burning fire pit, cozy up to all year round. Everything's made with Bilgard's Rin Laziano and Medino-style paving stones. Go to WGNRadio.com/contest and enter for your chance to be the envy of your neighborhood. That's WGNRadio.com/contests.
Thank you. Stay close.
I have one question for you, though. What's WGNRadio.com?
It's an internet website.
What is it?
What's that?
.com?
It's magic.
You might actually like it. You can search a lot of stuff on
there. Yeah, you can find a lot of good stuff on there, Radio Man. You might, you might fall in love over and over again.
Yeah.
He's missing out, I think.
Yeah.
I got a trunk of girly magazines from the 1970s that I fall in love with her every night.
Ew.
So ill.
May 1979, Hustler. It's a special one.
Oh, that's a good. That's a special edition one, yeah.
All right, we're done with him for
done
now.
Done with him.
Jeff Earle is joining us. This man's very busy today. I don't know if you've. I don't know if anybody noticed this.
Sure.
Jeff, of course, you know him from the Mail Online, Daily Mail, political editor for the United States of America. All right, I want to play this. And now you were not in the room for this spray today, right?
In Correct, Washington. It was not. It was a small pool.
Small pool. All right. You were not in this, but I want to play this. Cecilia Vega from CBS News was in there. This is the beginning of the problem today, and I'll tell you what the end of it is. Here we go.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S.? Is Russia still targeting the U.S., Mr. President?
Thank
Press,
you very
let's
much
go. Now. Make your way out.
No, you don't believe that to be the case?
Let's go. We're finished here.
Okay, so a little harder, he goes, thank you very much, like talking to the whole press, and then he looks at Cecilia Vega and goes, no. And then he goes, is that your answer, no? And he goes, no. And then we move on from there. Now, the White House, during the White House press availability today with Sarah Sanders, she said, no, he meant no more questions, he didn't mean no to that. And it seems to me, Jeff, there has been a concerted effort since then for the White House to keep dropping almost every hour now. The president strongly condemns Vladimir Putin for what they did. I mean, they're like doubling and tripling down on the fact that, no, the president does not believe that the Russians actually meddled or attacked us during the election in 2016. Are they getting political pressure from the right to finally step up against Vladimir Putin here?
Well, yes, they are, and it's a little head spinning to try to keep track of the walkbacks. But in this case, I think that audio you just played, you can't always hear the questions as well as you could in that case. You could really hear Cecilia's question, and as she tweeted out, he was looking right at her when he responded. So she certainly is of the view that that's what he was saying, that he was not saying that Russia was interfering in that statement. So there is pressure to walk it back. There's no question he would not have done the walk back he did yesterday on would versus wouldn't had he not been getting pressure from the right, just because there were it was not only the usual suspects. It was not only Flake and McCain, and even though there were various, some were stronger than others, he's hearing it from a lot of quarters.
Yeah, no question, including Dan Coats as well. One of the things we've seen, though, is his President Staffer's pushing back more strongly than he seems to be about the feelings about Russia and meddling. But today, their CBS News sat down with him, Jeff Glor, the news anchor there, and he seems to be himself being much stronger about his position against Russia and Putin. He's saying, yes, I agree that they meddled in our election and they are meddling in our election. And would you hold Putin personally responsible? He said, yes, I would, because he's in charge of that country. And as a leader, he's responsible. That seems to be perhaps the strongest we've seen recently in terms of his words about the Russian president.
Yes, and that was done with the benefit of hindsight of all this like terrible blowback that he has experienced. Because on the first one, what happened in Helsinki happened in real time, and then he immediately cut two Fox interviews where he did not appear to back down. And so then we had the walk back in the Oval Office, and now we have this. And so I think this shows exactly what you all are pointing out, that he is responding to what has happened in either the public or his advisors, what they're seeing.
All right. And in terms of Dan Coats, I want to go back to that for a second, because here's a guy who, as a director of national intelligence, he's responsible for informing the president about the full folder of events in any given day or week about what's happening in the world, right? The director of national intelligence is culling intelligence from all of the intelligence services, and he's digesting it for the president. And he's basically in charge of, from the executive branch, he's the guy that is the direct report of the CIA director, the NSA director, and all those people. They all go through Dan Coats. And when the president said on Twitter earlier today, well, there are people, high up in intelligence who don't agree with that Russia did this for reasons, I don't know, this is one of those 6 a.m. toilet tweets, but he did it anyway. I mean, who would be higher than Dan Coats? I mean, who is he talking? What is he doing? And so there's like a whole avalanche here where someone had to get to him to explain that this, you don't get it. You're going to lose everybody on this. Do we have any, is there any reporting? Do you have any sense, Jeff, about who this might be? Who's actually finally getting to him to get him to understand this?
I don't, and I know that if he's talking about high level and intelligence, I don't know who he's referring to. I mean, I do know that people who have attached their names to real strong criticism of him since Helsinki are former CIA directors who served under Obama and with Mr. Brennan, and also Leon Panetta, who served in the White House for a long time in various capacities. So they've attached their names to their opinion that they think the Russians might have something on President Trump. Yeah. So he's, I mean, I do know that as far as guidance for how to weather this, you know, he's got this new key communications advisor, Bill Shine from Fox News.
Right.
And he seems to be pushing at least a more proactive response instead of just fighting at all costs, being a little more responsive. So we'll see how that plays out.
Although it is Soviet era, which is, well, you didn't hear what you just heard. What you just heard is not right. Mm-hmm. This is what he really meant. Right, which is the no, and then the wouldn't, and that whole thing. It's like every day it's like Sesame Street. Every day we have to learn a new word and relearn the new word because no means yes and would means wouldn't.
It's a new type of denial. We're going to have to all adjust to the deal.
So, Sister Jeff, thanks very much. Appreciate it, Jeff Earl.
Thanks, guys.
From Mail Online. All right, Judy, I need your help. What's coming up at the top of the hour? Still trying to figure out what's going on in the world. I don't even know if I want to know anymore, but I do know I've got a top five coming up. We'll explain all that.
Mm-hmm.
So Jabari Parker signed his deal. Do I have that right, Kev?
Yes. Yeah, all right, 2-year, $40 million.
All right. It's all signed. He's there.
He's there.
He talked about how he loves Derrick Rose.
He did. He backed up Rose. He was introduced today in the East, the new atrium at the United Center, because there was such a massive group of people there between the media and just his people. But yeah, somebody asked him about how closely he followed the rise and fall, is the way the reporter put it, and Parker didn't really like that. So he backed up his boy. They're both Simeon former players there, and both went on to big things, so he was back in Derrick Rose, and it feels sort of fitting. I mean, the Bulls love getting guys from Duke. They love bringing local guys back to Chicago, so Jabari Parker.
Rumor out there that Anthony Davis would be a great one to pick up at some point, another hometown hero.
Yeah, you'd have to sign him as a free agent, because if you were to get him, you'd have to trade away pretty much everybody, and I don't know if New Orleans is going to trade him.
Is that...
Jahlil Okafor is a guy that's been on the radar as well, and remember, he went... he's a Chicago guy as well. He grew up in Rosemont.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Now, but when are those guys up?
Anthony Davis says 2020 is the story I was reading.
2020.
I can't live
so
that
two
long.
More seasons.
Wait a second.
You need results now, right? Yeah, is that what you're saying?
I don't know how much.
You know, the way the East is shaping out to be, the Bulls, I think they can make the playoffs next year, as crazy as that sounds. But LeBron going to the West changes everything, because he's had this stranglehold on the East for so long, and now the Eastern Conference is wide open. And Boston and Philly appear to be the favorites in Toronto now that they got Kawhi Leonard in that trade with the Spurs. But other than that, it's not that scary of a conference. So Bulls got some pieces to work with now.
I mean, I do like the Chicago piece to it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I loved about Derrick Rose. And then, you know, he had the first injury. Derrick Rose, let's be honest here, an incredibly talented basketball player.
Oh,
had
yeah.
some really bad luck.
Especially before those injuries.
Well, but
the highlight reel.
The injuries just did him in. He was a guy there was a magic to what he would do. He was this little guy who would go into that forest of trees down in the paint and somehow get through it and then get the basket.
He'd see the ball pop up in a crowd of defenders and it would go in.
It was really magical, but he had injuries. It got into his head.
Yeah.
I think other things got into his head too. I think it became hard to live up to it. He's paid so much money by Adidas.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't able to play and they had to stand by the deal. And I think he's one of those guys who was so... I think he's a guy who wants to do the right thing, and he wasn't... He was disappointed in his and frustrated by his inability to be as great as he once was. And I think it just sort of eroded him as a confident athlete.
Yeah, and I think he lost the fan base a little bit there for a stretch where he put his foot in his mouth. Yeah. And I don't think he necessarily had the best guidance when it was his brother. And
I think that came out of the fact that he got frustrated.
The frustration, no
question. I get it. We're not professional athletes. God knows what happens, especially
after I would have been if I didn't blow my knee.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I feel the same way. So, but that is it. It's a tough thing. Now, the problem here is Jabari Parker's already kind of halfway there, right?
Jabari Parker's blown his ACL out twice.
Same one, twice.
Yes.
And how old
Zach
of a player?
Zach LaVine is recovering. You know, had a blown ACL.
He's 24,
23,
right?
20, only 23. Yeah.
Okay, so then Adam LaVine, Zach LaVine,
yeah,
is right, and he's coming back now. He could be something. People keep telling me, "Wait till you see this kid. Wait till I'm like, I'm waiting to see the kid.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting."
Well, he's an explosive guy. You know, I think offensively they should be in pretty good shape between Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, who can score 20 points every night, Lauri Markkanen. Between those three guys, you got a pretty decent looking offense that fits Fred Hoiberg's system.
Okay.
But defensively, yeah.
Part of the problem is it's Fred Hoiberg's system.
Right.
And that's its own issue.
You're not having a lot of confidence?
No, I don't. I really don't have a total ton of confidence in Fred Hoiberg. Listen, it's fun. Again, it's like old home week, right? Mm-hmm. It's fun that we've got Fred Hoiberg, but it's not really going to do what I think it's going to do when I need it to do what it has to do, which is news. It's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
So you feeling good about the whole colonoscopy thing tomorrow?
I am. Well, I haven't taken my stuff yet.
That's the worst part, isn't it?
Yeah, that's coming up right when I leave here.
What's it taste like?
I'm going to... They've made it really simple.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I did this years and years and years ago, they had to drink a gallon of something.
Yeah.
Now it's a lot less, but it's powerful. And so
it's not fun either.
No, well, it's
going
it's
to the
not,
bathroom.
It's startling. It's not uncomfortable. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah,
Kev can back me up on this.
Yeah, I was going to say it's almost like wow. It's like kind of
you didn't know your body.
Wait, you had one at your age?
Yeah. Well, this was like 5 years ago or so. Had a little something going on, but it was easy peasy.
Yeah,
and everything was fine. But I think it's more of like whoa. I didn't know this could happen.
You didn't realize your body could do what it's going to do.
No. And like you got that much stuff in you?
It's kind of funny, too. You're like, wow.
Yeah. It's like, and I've described it like this. It's like, you know, my dog once had worms.
It's
the worst. And she went to the bathroom, and then she turned around to look really quickly, like, what the hell is that?
Did that come out of me?
Right. I mean, it was the funniest thing in the world. She was like, she goes out. She's like, she had a look of consternation on her face to begin with.
Poor
like,
thing.
I gotta go. You know how they can do that.
So I let her dance back and forth.
Right. I let her out. She runs out. She goes to her spot. She then, and then all of a sudden she's like, and then literally turns around her head and she's trying to look behind her. Like, what in the hell is going on? And ever since I did that, I did this, you know, same sort of thing. It's a little something they wanted to make sure everything was fine, like when I was 30. And I thought of her immediately, like, oh, that's exactly what it is. Because at one point you stop and you go, hey, wait a second. This part of the body is not supposed to do what it just did.
Right.
That's the other part of the body.
I don't want to talk anybody out of doing it because I did it early because of a high incidence of colon cancer in my family on both sides. And so I did it early. And I think anyone who, you know, talk to your doctor and do it when you should and keep on target with those dates that you're supposed to keep doing it. But
hey,
I found that
we can get a group rate because I have to do one too.
Oh, really? Are you doing
show outing?
My second
one. All right.
One as well.
Oh, another show outing.
We
should
have made it a show outing, Ro. With those two, no.
Oh. What do they say? The team that goes together stays together.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's true.
Right. Bring your bowels together, and somehow you'll bond.
Nothing. The thing is that everybody gets freaked out by this thing. It's a couple. It's like, you know, it's like 2 hours of excitement, but it's not like you're sick. You don't feel sick.
No,
you just feel kind of surprised by all of the things that are happening. Get a book, you know, enjoy yourself.
Stay
iPad,
near the bathroom.
Whatever it is, right? Do some tweeting like the president. Do whatever you got to do. You
don't take a long walk in a park or anything.
Yeah,
stay
near a bathroom.
Home.
Yeah.
As I recall my children laughed a lot that night as I was running.
Yes, because you're like, all right,
from the couch to the bathroom.
But it's not like, you know, it's not like the urgency thing. It's sort of like you just know, like, oh boy, I'm
right. Yeah,
go.
You make it there, but it's like, ooh,
yeah. It's just always gotta go, sort
gotta
of
go, gotta go.
Like, okay,
gotta go, gotta go.
Here we
and
go.
Then, I think I mentioned this before. I drank all of it, and then I found out. You just give me
hey, wait. Don't give any advice here. It's all right there on the side of the bottle. Don't.
Yeah, I'm going to give advice.
Yeah, don't give advice.
But you're supposed to empty.
Why don't they have a pill? They should have a pill now.
Come on. Agree.
Yeah. This is ridiculous.
The pill scares me even more because then they'll be dropping that in my food at a restaurant because I did the way that I treat people.
But if you don't empty the full contents of the colon, you don't necessarily get a great result for your colonoscopy.
You got to do it again.
And so, yeah, that's not a good thing.
And then when you go in for it, it's totally comfortable because you're out. Now, I'm going to be out. I'll tell
you're
that right
now.
You're
out and clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all good.
You feel so great.
Oh, yeah.
Afterwards, like, you're, hey, like the world. You feel light and on top of the world.
Well, and for girls, you feel like you lost maybe 5 pounds.
I know.
So
it's
a good feeling for a few hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here we go. We got to do this.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
By the way, this is going to give new meaning to number two today.
Number
Sorry,
five.
We apologize in advance, Orion.
The president was asked if Russia is still targeting the U.S. during a spray in the White House today. He said no.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Right,
thank you.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S.? Is Russia still targeting the U.S., Mr. President?
Thank you very
let's
much.
Let's go. Make your way out. No, you don't believe that to be the case? Let's go. We're finished here.
So again, there's you heard him there twice. He said no, and the White House press people are like, get out, move it. They should have. They literally should have dogs in there. They should have like a whole. The best option here is to just bring them in. Like, all right, you're gonna have you people are gonna have to get out of here. If you don't get out of here, there's gonna be trouble, and I promise you. Yeah, move! Move along! All right! That means you too, Jeff Ward!
This is a full-size gym.
Here's another goal for your summer adventure.
What is that?
I don't know.
2018
Hold on a second.
Chevy Silverado.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. This is a full-size gym.
What's happening? What's going on?
What are they going to play? WGN promos to scare him, too? We're going to get more of that.
The dogs don't work.
It was like a torture chamber. It's like playing Metallica. Terrorist for 24 hours.
The room.
Right. Yeah. I saw this in Zero Dark 30.
Right.
Steve Cochran promo.
They're making us the enemy.
Let me tell you, though, I want that job after this one.
You'd be great at that job,
wouldn't
Judy.
I wouldn't have to say anything.
Yes.
Just give them the look.
Oh, yeah.
But
Judy
I would
look.
Say it. I would yell it. I would love to do that.
I'm putting
get
you back
out.
In that roll top desk. No, please do not be doing. Anyway, so the White House had to clean this up. Right?
They did.
So Sarah Sanders went before the podium and said, that is not what you heard.
Earlier, Cecilia asked the president, is Russia still targeting the U.S.? He said no. Is that what the president actually believes? Did he understand the question? And is his position that no, Russia is not doing anything to interfere or meddle in the 2018 election?
You had a chance to speak with the president after those comments, and the president said thank you very much and was saying no to answering questions. The president and his administration are working very hard to make sure that Russia is unable to meddle in our elections, as they have done in the past and as we have stated.
But that didn't seem to go over very well in the press room because they kind of knew better, so they asked again.
So despite the video that shows the president looking at Cecilia and answering no to this question about whether Russia is still targeting the U.S., and despite multiple people in the room understanding that the president was responding to that question, and despite the president having never before said the word no repeatedly to usher reporters out of the room, you're saying it's reversed. You're saying the president said, this is
the first thing that the president said after the question was asked was thank you very much, and then he said no, I'm not answering any more questions.
So
and even further, I think even Cecilia didn't realize what the answer was because she asked for clarification and he didn't answer the follow-up. Right, because she wasn't sure. I talked to the president. He wasn't answering that question. He was saying no, he's not taking questions, and I've stated what our position is.
I just want to know, who they hired, who's back there, who's coming up with these things, which is like, all right, here's what we're going to do. It's like my
agent. Would. Pretend you said wouldn't.
Baby, darling, sweetheart, listen, I think it's probably this Bill Shine guy from Fox News Channel.
Do you think so? Yeah, because he's come over as he's communications like, director. Well, didn't he replace Hope Hicks? I thought
yeah.
the position.
Mm-hmm. 26-year-old, yeah, he did. Baby, darling, sweetheart, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say, when you said, I would not have no reason. We're going to go with, I wouldn't. We're going to do that. Baby, trust me.
That's good.
Trust me, it's going to work. I know it's not what you meant, but go ahead. And then in this one, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say no more questions. Practice this with me. Move the sound with your mouth. Oh. All right, but then the president sat down with CBS's Jeff Glor. I know, you're like, who? He's the anchor of the CBS Evening News, in case you're wondering.
You say you agree with U.S. intelligence that Russia meddled in the election in 2016.
Yeah, and I've said that before, Jeff. I have said that numerous times before. And I would say that that is true, yeah.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
Okay. What'd you say to him?
Very strong on the fact that we can't have meddling, we can't have any of that. Now, look, we're also living in a grown-up world. Will a strong statement, you know, President Obama supposedly made a strong statement. Nobody heard it. What they did hear is the statement he made to Putin's very close friend. And that statement was not acceptable.
What?
What? I'm not sure what he's talking about.
His point is that we live in a grown-up world. That's his attitude about this. We live in a grown-up world, and sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get done what you got to get done. But I can't get over how much Jeff Glor sounds like Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
Oh.
It's like, he sounds, it's so weird. You know what? I got to play with that. We got to figure that out a little bit later on. Jeff Glor sounds creepy.
Certainly, though, the president's taking much tougher stance on Putin and Russia yes. in that interview than he has yesterday or any point the day before.
Correct.
Or the day before that.
And he's had to do that because otherwise he's going to lose. He's going to lose here because even his most fervent support in the House and in the Senate is wavering. And the foreign policy people are all like, what is he doing? What is he doing? If Dan Coats walks away,
yeah,
there's going to be a problem.
That's a Trump appointee.
All those guys at the top are Pompeo and Coats and all the rest of those guys. If he's going to publicly say that they're not right about what they're doing, mm-hmm. they're not going to stay there. And it's going to be a problem for America. America.
Yep.
Number four.
Elon Musk has had to apologize for calling one of the Thailand rescuers a pedo, short for pedophile.
Oh.
He says awful. He made the comment in anger after British diver Vern Unsworth said Musk was guilty of a PR stunt by bringing a mini submarine to Thailand, which he was guilty of. Nobody needed your stinking mini submarine.
Well, you can't fault the guy for trying to help. He didn't know if they were going to get out of the tunnel. I mean, out of the cave.
But it wasn't going to work. He sent it there, and then he wanted to make it about himself. While these people were actually going in there, a person at a time to
and
go in there and
no
do it.
And he has no expertise in this department.
And it was a space capsule. Now it's a mini sub. Where's Amber? All right. Anyway, but then he calls the guy a pedophile?
Because the guy said that he should engage in a sexual act with the mini submarine. Not that I'm validating or thinking this
you
is the right way to act in any way. Or
you are
no,
supporting Elon Musk.
No, but that fact is important to put out there. That's what Elon Musk put in his
Yeah, I actually haven't heard that. So
Twitter feed that he said that that's what happened before this, and neither of those comments help anybody.
Well, typically when you don't like something that someone has, you tell them to. Put it where the sun don't shine.
We don't have audio for this. Whether we had audio for this.
Oh, we're waiting for that.
What happened to our audio? We're having a day here.
Let's just have Judy shout, get out. Get out.
Everyone
technical
out.
Technical difficulty.
Get out. What
no.
did I
quiet. No.
Quiet.
Judy.
Practicing
Judy
for her growl too. I can do it.
And this snarling Rottweiler arrive in the room. Okay. I'm gone.
Actually, Judy could straighten out both of these guys, Elon Musk and the other dude.
Yeah, and there would be no clarification days. It would be whatever we said was good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to move to your 3 and 2 and 1. Maybe there's audio for those. We'll find out. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, unfortunately... Though that was a bad, bad lead-in.
Oh, it's a dark story, isn't it?
Yeah, let me just say, some pets, unfortunately, fear dead in that massive fire in Prospect Heights.
Oh,
I know.
We're having a problem. No people yet,
and just some injuries.
This is the worst-case scenario.
Wow.
If I were the White House person, you'd be...
We would be out of here.
You'd be lying on the front lawn right now, on the White House lawn.
Guys, we got to go.
Let's call it a day.
Let's get out of here.
All right. What is Patty and Andrea coming your way next, right after this?
Don't worry. I'll take over if you need me.
Please don't. Just play some Def Leppard.
Do you have any Def Leppard? Put some sugar on me right after this.
Okay. Violetta, would you like to tell us what's going on the roadways? And let's hope that... Is there a mass casualty event that I should know about? All right, here's what we're going to do.
This is a softer look for us.
Because we had trouble here in the top 5 at 5.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some technical problems.
We have.
As this whole thing has kind of... fallen apart.
Right before a story about the passing of some dogs.
Yes.
Unfortunate radio tease.
It was a Casey Kasem moment is what happened there.
Yeah. Some Sarah McLachlan would be good right about now.
Who?
What's her name? Sarah McLachlan.
Okay, listen. What we're going to do is we're going to stop. We're going to pause.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put ourselves in timeout for a few minutes.
That's
we're going to sit
idea.
In the corner of the room.
I like that.
We'll finish the top 5 at 5 on the other side of Judy Pilak's news. Judy, can you do the news? Are you ready to do the news?
Duh. Always.
Okay. Hold on. I've got another break, and then I will come back, and we will do the news. All right?
Let's all take a deep
breath.
Will
you be back?
I don't think so.
I'll be here, I'll be waiting.
I'm going to have a meeting in the boss's office during the bottom of the hour news.
I just saw that DJ in there meeting with Todd.
Number 2, for that Rukan. He's a hack. He's yesterday in news.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
good luck.
All right. We'll finish the top 5 on the other side of Judy season 2.
Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room.
I don't know who this is.
I bet she smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. Well, I'm in love with your
DJ
body.
Guy.
Is that Charlie Puth?
Yahoo?
Not on your hit list.
No, that's, what's his name? Beck, right? Isn't that? Ed Sheeran. That's what I meant. Ed Sheeran is Beck. Same guy.
I was like, Glenn? Another redhead. They're both redheads.
No. Yeah, it's the guy that was visualizing him.
Both ginger-haired.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just like
musicians.
DJ guy now. I have no idea what... anything that was... anything recorded after 1980, I have no idea what it is. All right. That's not appropriate. That's just not right. Let me explain what's happening here on the program.
We're falling apart.
Yes. We had a problem. We had some technical issues.
Mm-hmm.
A series of them.
We're hopefully able to bounce back from them. I think we will.
And so we've had to extend the top 5 at 5 because we had the unspeakable moment. We had a dead dog story.
Yes, following mockery of dogs.
Yeah.
Didn't play well.
No.
Because I love dogs.
Because we have it's the kind of thing that really makes Casey Kasem very unhappy. And we'll share that with you a little bit later on in the program. We'll revisit what happened. But in the meantime, I have to get through the top 5 at 5. It's the law. So we are up to...
Number 3.
CNN's Allison Camerota held an interview with Beck Dory Stein today. It's another Beck. Former White House stenographer. Now, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because she's the... she was the person responsible for sitting down and taking notes with what Donald Trump was saying.
Well, President Trump, we've quickly learned, does not like microphones near his face, which is difficult because as a stenographer, we often had to do that. And so his White House and his press office often didn't include us in meetings with the press. So his first interview, there was no stenographer present. And even since then, even if a stenographer is present, he doesn't often say, check the transcript, because the transcript will reveal the truth.
And that's the point. She also told a story about the president sitting down with Bill O'Reilly for an hour, sort of mm-hmm. off-the-cuff conversation. Because everything a president says or does, this is the problem. This is why this is the goldenest of golden handcuffs to become president of the United States. Because everything you do, say, anything that is public record. And there's a Records Act that requires you, like every one of his tweets, mm-hmm. when he deletes a tweet, he's actually violating a law in the United States. Every part of his work product is supposed to be kept, held, cataloged. Every word out of his mouth while he's president mm-hmm. is supposed to be.
And the deleted tweets will be.
Right. I mean, while he's on the job.
They really go away. Mm-hmm.
But the point is you can't, he didn't even understand that he can't do that. That's not a part of the deal. So this.
What if you use the word covfefe? Wouldn't you want to delete that?
I would, but still, you'd want the president to know, and then it would also make it. It would make sense. All those mugs that said covfefe on them. It would make sense 50 years from now when you're going through grandma's stuff. Why does she have this mug? What does this mean? There will be at least a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
See, if we just make that disappear completely, it won't work.
It's not allowed.
No. And so the stenographer has quit because he didn't want her around. He didn't want this stuff. They don't want us to know what they're doing.
Yeah, she's also authored a book, though, on the Trump White House and how he got lost on a plane and was really critical of his entire administration, how he creeped her out. So I get all that. I do like to take her point, though, that if he doesn't, you know, you don't have a stenographer present, that's not the way it's been done before. And there's probably, it's not a good thing to do is no. to ban that type of person from putting things on the record.
Right. What is he so worried about putting on the record if he's president of the United States? Shouldn't he be doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. But then again, he doesn't want us to know what his taxes are. He doesn't want us to know what there's a lot of secretiveness around him anyway, right?
Sure.
Because either he's in the pocket of somebody, or he's just worried about what he's going to say because he just knows. Because he knows who he is. He knows what he's likely to say. Or because he spent too much time with Billy Bush. Something happened.
Number two.
Josh Hader, the MLB All-Star, has had to apologize for the insanely offensive tweets on his timeline that he, nor the Milwaukee Brewers, his home team, remembered were there. Because, as it turns out, he had a kind of a wacky little moment in the All-Star game last night in terms of his pitching. Right,
mm-hmm. Gave up a homer.
When he gives up a homer, people are suddenly, who is this guy? Why is he on the All-Star team?
He's had a great year so far.
And they start looking at his Twitter timeline, and they find a lot of stuff.
Maybe he should have deleted them. Because that's allowed, right, when you're in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's okay. President can't do it. But he can't. And there were attacks on gay people, use of the N-word, things like that. And now he's in the public eye.
You know, it was something that happened, when I was 17 years old, and, you know, as a child, I was immature, and I, you know, obviously said some things that were inexcusable. You know, that doesn't reflect on who I am as a person today, and, you know, that's just what it is.
I'm kind of a moron. I'm sorry.
He has to go through sensitivity training now, is what MLB.
In Milwaukee?
I don't know necessarily where.
But what happens? I'd like to go to sensitivity training in Milwaukee and find out what goes on there.
Don't they, when they sign new players, kind of clean up their social media? You know, kind of go through that let's scrub some of these. They don't really hold up. And
my only theory
right
is that even if he did delete them, maybe somebody screen grabbed them so long ago. Maybe somebody was sitting on this. Because it was really, like, right when he gave up the homer, these started popping up on Twitter. So I don't know if somebody was hanging on to these screen grabs.
He said that he never deleted them.
Oh, well, yeah. I feel like we've had this conversation a million times now.
Yeah.
Athletes
That's
are
true.
Celebrities.
That's
like,
true.
They tweet something horrible, then they say they were sorry, and it was a long time ago, and they were dumb, and then we all forget about it by tomorrow.
I mean, he had a tweet that said, I hate gay people.
Yeah, yeah, not good.
And then the other stuff with the N-word. Now, it's interesting, Lorenzo Cain, his teammate, is African-American.
Class act.
We just talked a little bit. I just was trying to understand the situation. He said he was young. You know, we all say some crazy stuff when we're young. That's one reason why I don't have social media, because, you know, for
good move.
Things like
Very
this,
smart.
You always get in trouble for, you know, things you say when you're younger. So, like I said, we'll move on from it. You know, situation is what it is. I know Hader. You know, he's a great guy. And I know he's a great teammate. So, like I said, I'm fine. You know, everybody will be okay. We'll move on from this for sure.
Okay.
Like I said, I mean...
Okay, all right.
We got it.
Yeah, we got it. The guy's been, the microphone's still there. They feel compelled to keep talking. And they just say the same thing over and over again. He did a nice job there. But they're misspelling this guy's last name. Josh Hader is H-A-D-E-R. Should be T-E-R.
Oh.
See what I did there?
People are doing that?
See what
or
I
you
did?
Just
did
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good at all. All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Checking in finally at
number one.
I'm just glad we got past number two without making any colonoscopy jokes, so thank you.
Number two.
What I'm going to do is put that out on social media tonight every time I have to do that after I take the stuff from my colonoscopy.
Facebook Live.
Right, Facebook Live. I'm just going to play this.
Number two.
It is supposed to get the most intimate moments of your life.
Yeah. You know,
maybe when the president goes on these Twitter rants, he's preparing for colonoscopy. Just continues to go to the bathroom visit. He's got nothing else to do. Might as well fire another tweet out there.
Number two.
I'm going to have Orion Samuelson narrate my colonoscopy.
I don't think he'll do that.
We're going to do maybe do a video, you know, slow motion kind of thing.
Oh, they're making the move over the left side of the colon. Always turn left. Turn left.
All right. This is something. They've released the promos from a very Cavallari Christmas, or whatever. What do they call this show? Very Cavallari?
Yep.
This is Sunday. They can't wait. What day is today? Well, I guess today is Wednesday. So if you want to get ready for Sunday, you gotta let everybody know now. They've in this episode of A Very Cavallari, they hire a herd of goats to fertilize her yard.
Oh.
Is that code for something?
No, that's eco-friendly.
I think I've heard that before.
They've done it near O'Hare here in Chicago. They bring the goats out.
Yeah, but that's like in a massive field, not a residential neighborhood.
They live on like 8 acres
what
or
happens?
Something.
Yeah, but what happens when the goat like wanders off into the runway and gets sucked up into an engine?
That never happens, thankfully. Goats are cute.
Right. Oh, because the goat knows. The goat's like, by the way, to all the other goats, listen, there's airplanes over there. Don't walk over there. You get sucked right up into the engine. Anyway, this is not why I called.
No.
So on A Very Cavallari on Sunday, you're going to hear this. Because
the goats.
They're fertilizing your concrete there.
You mean they're pooping everywhere?
Little known fact, goat poop is apparently great for a lawn. So since the lawn is so important to Jay, just to have a little fun with him, I decided to hire these goats to come and fertilize it.
I mean, they poop a lot.
They do. They produce a cold manure, which means it's absolutely safe to go immediately on your garden.
You want some goats now?
Yeah, I love them.
Well, you gotta go look at this house that I found.
Why can't we just have goats here?
It's against the law.
I mean, I love goats, but I don't love moving.
There are three episodes in.
Yeah.
And this is what they've come up with?
Cutler's gone full country, by the way. See how he dresses? He's watching, like, secret camera, like, elk videos. Just watching deer wander in the forest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler, by the way, not the goat.
No.
Greatest of all time. Yeah, Tom Brady is.
I see what you did right there.
Thank you.
I think Jay is about a year and a half away from being at a Trump rally, right? With a like making the speech.
They're having
to the stage.
Fun. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he's doing this for his wife. She wants to get back in.
Oh my God, I wouldn't even be surprised. Color stumping for Trump.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in anything that's going on here, but here he is, Donald Trump. It would be something like that.
Kind of half in it.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing's a hit. This thing is a hit. I do not understand what makes a hit anymore.
Because I think somehow it's captured the normal reality show female audience, 18 to 34, but it also somehow has picked up the sports viewing community. I don't really quite understand that, but people do want to watch Jay.
Can I ask you two women, the 18 to 34s on this show?
Uh-huh.
What is it, is Kristen Cavallari somebody you're interested in?
No, I find this show so awkward.
Like this show?
Aren't they all awkward?
No, they're not. I mean, I feel like the Kardashians should get more credit for making it seem more natural. Like, they are so awkward.
Yes, they should get a Nobel Prize for doing that.
No, but I'm saying in comparison, the two shows are very different.
But I'm just asking, is Kristen Cavallari
I thought she was a huge deal.
Style, or is she,
no,
is
she's just
a leader of people?
She's basic.
They're both very attractive. Let's just call it what it is.
I find him more endearing.
Colors considered attractive to females?
No.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, I think he's, no, I think he's attractive.
Really? Sure. I always thought...
He reminds me of a slob.
I don't like his
attitude. Yeah. Physically.
It's kind of dumb, but I'm watching it for him, not her.
Dumb's okay.
Yeah, it's
well, there's a
so.
Website
big and
now.
Dumb.
There's
yeah.
a website
Shut up.
Going for.
Get in the bedroom.
I mean, I'm thinking she looks more...
Get in the bedroom. I got a dog out here.
She looks dumber than him.
They both.
Oh,
look-
I think she's not dumb. I just think, she's street smart. You know, they figured this out. They got this worked out.
Yeah,
she's got her own jewelry line, guys.
Yeah.
You know who's dumb? Really? Yeah, viewers. We're dumb for watching. So yeah. It's our fault. Yeah. I mean,
don't worry, America.
The Kardashians are billionaires.
America's
because all of us.
Exactly.
The world has already figured out America might not be as smart as anyone thought it was. It's kind of, the secret's kind of out. And you saw the look on Vladimir Putin's face, like, look at this now, what I got. This is pretty good now. America pretty dumb. They're falling for this whole thing. All right, are you ready? Let's close this thing up finally.
The top five at five.
Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? Okay. I don't even know where to begin here to explain what has happened on this program today.
Went off the rails for a few minutes there.
Yeah, it
for
did.
For a few minutes?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while now.
So, okay. Well, thanks for bringing that part up, too. So let me just explain what happened a little bit earlier, and then I want to play the audio for you so everybody can really feel the horror of what occurred. So we were talking about the White House press opportunity today where the president was sitting there, and then, you know, the ABC reporter asked him, hey, do you think Putin's still involved in the meddling in the United States? And Trump says no. But then the White House had to come out and say, no, he didn't say no to that. He said no to no more questions. And it just became a whole thing. And then Judy said during it, because they've got now, when they get the press out of there, they've got this woman who screams at the top of her lungs, get out, get out, right? So to get the press away from the president,
my dream job,
right? And Judy pointed out that would be her dream job, and I said we needed to get Judy a snarling Rottweiler.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
because that would help get the press out, you know.
Yes.
Get sick the dogs on them.
Yeah. And the unfortunate reality was that then tossed to Judy for her news tease, as we call it, as she was going to tell us what's coming up in the next newscast. And unfortunately, she had a dead dog story in that.
It was so unfortunate.
So
sad.
It sounded a little something like this. All right, we're going to move to your 3 and 2 and 1. Maybe there's audio for those. We'll find out. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, unfortunately... Though that was a bad lead-in.
It's a dark story, isn't it?
Yeah, let me just say, some pets, unfortunately, fear dead in that massive fire in Prospect Heights.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, we're having a problem.
No people, though.
How rude,
bro. No people yet, and just some injuries.
This is the worst case scenario.
Wow.
If I were the White House person, you'd be...
We would be out of here.
You'd be lying on the front lawn right now, on the White House lawn.
Guys, we got to go.
So, I waited my whole career to have a dead dog story so that I can play this audio tape one more time of the great Casey Kasem when this happened to him.
We're up to our long distance dedication, and this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. I'm coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but damn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a damn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a up-tempo record every time I do a damn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last damn time. I want somebody to use his brain to not come out of a damn record that is that's up tempo, and I got to talk about a dog dying.
That was me off the air.
I was gonna say that should be Judy saying that,
Jeff,
because
on the intercom,
you were forced
word
to
for
make
word.
You're forced to make that transition, and that was impossible. You got to get your Don on the air. I'm the phone.
Get Don on the phone. Get down on the phone.
Don't make me quit and go be the White House guard dog.
Don't worry.
That's what the position's called, guard dog.
Oh, man.
Think about Steve Dale listening to that.
I know.
Poor Steve Dale is just reduced to tears right now. Listen to this. He can't even get himself to the phone.
He's calling Don.
Get Steve Dale on the phone.
I've already called him.
All right.
He's sending you a Thunder shirt.
So now you've got to, when you look back at your career, you'll have a dog moment.
I've done it all.
Yeah, you've done it.
I now have had my Casey Kasem dead dog moment where I have a complete cluster, except Casey recorded America Top 40 like on a Tuesday and on a Saturday. Right, so
he was the best though. Those when he would, oh gosh, he would move you to tears with the dedication of those songs.
Well, he moved me to tears, all right. Tears of laughter.
Careful what you say and if the mic's open.
That's what the guy was like. I didn't know that about him.
I don't need an up tempo song right now. Talking about a dead dog.
I mean, the one little thing that just set him off, he couldn't stop.
Yeah.
And then he started piling on. What happened to those pictures I was supposed to see?
What does that even mean?
That's like when your parents got mad at you as a kid, and you know, you stayed out too late, right. And had to clean your room while you're at it.
Right. And your grades aren't so good either.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's
what happens when you get mad. It's just what the whole rest, everything comes out.
Have you ever tried to get your Don on the phone? Your booby?
My booby, my agent,
the guy who calls you booby.
Yeah, I don't. We wouldn't be able to get him. That would be the moment where I go, all right, that's it. Get my agent on the phone. Guy, get him on the phone.
And then it would be
who's this calling?
He's on the phone with Hannity. Sorry, I won't be taking your call at the moment. Can I take a message for him?
How
do you spell that? Last name again?
Who's calling? Who's calling? Is it Ro? What? Is it a verb? I don't know. What is he calling about?
You've been my agent for 20 years.
Who?
Tell him I'm busy.
Yeah. Got Hannity.
Hannity's on the phone.
Oh, that's right, baby darling, sweetheart. I remember you. You're the guy from Des Moines. Yes. We love you.
It's Chicago.
Oh, right. Ron, listen. I'm still working on that deal. I think I got a pet food commercial for you.
Petco endorsement.
Not now.
Do you like Thunder shirts? Because if you like Thunder shirts, I heard somebody mention Thunder shirts, I could get you a Thunder shirt endorsement.
That'd be perfect for you. Are you kidding?
You got to tell them about the dead dog situation.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. The whole thing's bad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we got through it. That's the most important thing.
I think Judy is the hero there. She got through it based on tough transition.
The first time ever that's been said. The first time ever anybody has said that sentence. Judy is the hero here.
No, it's not. And if you don't watch yourself, you're going to have to leave.
She didn't tell you to get out.
I'm working on my new job. Like I need to work on it.
This should just be Judy's headlines. And here's Judy with the news. All right.
Okay.
Second story. And our third story.
That sounds like a happy dog.
And now for our feature story.
She's getting happier.
Does she have a monkey in there that sounds scary?
That's my traffic.
That's the press leaving.
A little bit of sports here.
Just excited.
That one sounded scary.
That's kind of how the current person sounds.
And then we come back to me. That basically is this show in a nutshell.
So true.
Oh, God.
We're a lively bunch.
Yeah. We're basically a Disney cartoon is what I just reduced us to. All right. At the great fear of asking you this question, what's coming up in the bottom of the hour news? It's interesting. Fun with science here.
Okay. What's up?
The story says that 2/5 of people, 40% of people, have a fictional first memory. So the memory is likely to have been made up.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Like first memory you've ever had?
Yeah. Like the early, if you think back to your earliest memory.
I think my earliest memories are aided by pictures. So by looking through pictures or albums,
you hear
my parents,
the story over and over, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that birthday when I got that present and I was 5 or 4, whatever it is. But that's interesting.
I think this is. Remember before Roseanne Barr went crazy the second time, when she went crazy the first time, when she had her first show and she talked about Rosie O'Donnell. That's what I meant. Rosie O'Donnell, before she went crazy the second time, the first time, Rosie O'Donnell had that thing about her repressed memories of her dad, right? And she's like, and so people have this idea that they can have a memory that was told to them if something really bad happened to you. Mm-hmm. You can be told over and over and over again that it didn't happen to you.
I believe that.
And then it did. And that's one of those deals. But this is just, you know, more of a, oh, don't you remember when you were first born and you blinked? And you're like, yes, of course I remember that. Because you saw a picture of it 100 times!
I think a lot of my memories might be fake.
Well, that's because they told you the stories to tell to the officials, right? When you were crossing the border.
Remember when you got here? No, I'm not supposed to remember. I was born here.
Exactly right. This is where this Violetta was actually snatched from somebody's arms, Bronco's arms. And then they were like, you know, and then I give her back. She just started talking and talking and talking.
You always wonder when people say, I remember, I have a memory from when I was 2 or something. That just seems very unlikely. You know, like being pushed around in a baby stroller or something like that. Is that possible? You remember something from way back then?
I don't think so. What is the earliest you could first of all, you have to have language thoroughly in your brain before you can really remember something.
Yeah, but sometimes a smell or a certain experience will help you remember something. Maybe you don't remember an exact day that it happened, but you're like, I kind of remember being in my stroller doing this or walking down the street holding my mom's hand or something. Like that.
So when you smell spit up formula, you remember exactly where you
were? No, but my mom had this particular perfume and sweater. It was so soft, and I remember always falling asleep on her on that sweater.
It smells are very powerful. That's true. From my childhood, it's true. If I smell Chanel No. 5, it reminds me of my mom going out on, you know, with my dad for a date or something. And just the whole feelings of that time, it comes back.
And when they come back, it's the smell of Chanel No. 5 and alcohol.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I never got to see that because I was in bed.
Right. Well, because sometimes they come
that.
In and they kiss you,
give
you know,
my,
and you're like,
mommy,
oh,
I, kiss.
Oh, a mommy smells just like a martini. And then when I smell the martini, and I'm like, oh, oh, yeah.
Happy memories.
I remember that. Yeah. I don't think I could barely remember what happened yesterday, let alone that. There's just too much back there to try
to. When is your earliest memory? How far would you go back to say it's a legit memory?
It's hard to say for like, because some of them, are you talking about like a big major moment or just like a
no,
little
no, like go
speech?
Back to like anything. The earliest you can remember yourself, the youngest you can remember yourself being.
Like, I don't know how old I was. I can remember sitting on the back of like my mom's van with two of the other kids in the neighborhood. But I don't know how old I was. I been
but
like
is there a picture of that? Because when I think
no,
back to all
that.
These memories
I
when I was young, I think, oh my gosh, there is a picture of that. So that's aided by that in my head. But really?
I think it's because I remember
the hospital.
Right, exactly. That's what people
smell.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, every time I'm in a hospital, it reminds me of being in, being born.
That blanket and hat.
Jerk smacked me so hard right in the rear end.
I think my earliest memory was having this woman who they said was like my aunt or cousin or something, somebody I never ever really saw again, come over to the house.
Oh no! Now we can get into some stuff here.
Boy, that's deep.
And I just remember her being really tall and kind of scary looking. I had not seen the Wizard of Oz yet, but when I did see it, I'm like, oh my god,
that's her.
That's that woman who came over to our house.
And it wasn't Glenda, I'm assuming.
No, it was the other one.
Mm-hmm. That was Daddy's friend that Mommy wasn't supposed to know about.
Yeah, no, but no, she came over, and they were making a big deal. I just remember my parents were making a big deal, like trying to get everything cleaned up. They were trying to be like, really, this woman lived out of town, and she was coming in, and they wanted to impress her. Mm-hmm. And I think and I know it had to be really early because it was the apartment I was born in, and I have very few memories of that. So it was like that, and I just remember she called me like Butchie or something like that, and then grabbed my cheek. That's all. It's sort of my memory, and then anybody named Butch freaks me out, and I'm and I don't like anybody touching me, and that's all I remember.
Well, this explains a lot. Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's it. But I remember her smell.
Did the doctor also talk to you about this?
I do. Where did the Wicked Witch touch you? I do remember her smell. And it was the smell of like that there's a certain type of perfume that old ladies used to wear and mothballs.
Mm.
So the mothball-y kind of smell on the
smells clothes. For sure for me bring back memories.
There's no question.
Sometimes you can't even remember the memory and you're like, oh, like this feels familiar.
Yeah,
so
or
familiar.
You get a warm feeling like, God, I must have liked whatever I was doing when this smell arrived. I was having a good time.
Yeah. This is about it. I feel like we're in like a Vladimir Putin remembering camp somewhere where we're being trained. This has just been one of those days.
But they're saying that if you hear a story over and over, you see a picture over and over, that becomes a memory for you. But then you'll fill out all the details around how it smelled or what the room was like or things that you're sort of making up was the point of the study, too, is that some of the things that you would fill in terms of details would be made up details.
That makes sense. The worst is, too, when you tell your parents something, they're like, no, I don't remember any of that. I'm like, do you remember anything? Hello?
What's really important is you don't remember anything that happened in the last 3 days. That's the most important thing. When I said no, that is not what I meant. It was wood. It was wood. And just forget the whole thing. I never went to Helsinki.
You might wish he didn't.
Did you see the video? Have you seen this video of when Melania met Vladimir Putin?
Yes.
With Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And they turned to, like, they all have to turn to the camera. Mm-hmm.
During this trip.
Just came out. Vanity Fair's got the video of it up because she looks like she's going to try to run for the door.
She does look horrified meeting him. Like she may be one person who understands coming from an Eastern Bloc country what he's about.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
And then she's like, oh my, this now husband with him. But he's not going to listen to her anyway. Do you think she's been able to finish a full sentence in front of him?
I think she's influential.
Really?
I do.
Where?
Well, look at the children being separated from in this latest immigration situation. I think he listened to her and Ivanka on that to say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. This is not the way to win this fight. This is not the way to to create policy, and it's, you're not going to win politically, and it's the wrong thing for a human. I think she was influential on that.
Remember, she wore the I don't care.
She publicly came out against her husband, a sitting president, on a policy he was enforcing, zero tolerance for. I mean, literally, publicly did that. When's the last time a first lady has done that, in your recollection?
I have no memories of anything.
Well, that's good. That's going to be there. Very helpful for you.
All right.
Right now.
All right. Let us now check in with Judy Pollack with the WGN News in 2 minutes. Music means, don't you?
We do. Bears.
We don't have Cuddy to kick around anymore, but now we can on television.
We can watch Very Cavallari for that.
Yeah.
Feels like, starting to feel like football season a little bit.
It is. It's the light in the sky. It's that minute. I mean, it's only darker in the afternoon now by like 5 minutes, but that 5 minutes tells you that, you know, kids are starting to show up for football practices are starting for high schools.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I live by a high school, so I'm practicing today, this morning.
Yeah, this is where the kids are like, they're bringing the kids in, and they're like, all right, you're going to run wind sprints till you lose 30 pounds.
This is when Bears beat reporters like Adam Hoge say goodbye to their families for the next 4 months as they,
I'm just,
aww. Football becomes their life.
I'm wondering, Adam is joining us right now by Super Celebrity Satellite, and I'm just wondering, you've spent your entire spring, you have a young child.
I do.
Adorable, yeah. Young child.
And all I've seen is you at White Sox games. Now, you did bring your family to the White Sox game when you threw out the first pitch a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Is that the first time you have seen them in 2 years?
No, but as Kevin pointed out, yeah, I'm going to say my goodbyes tonight.
Well, you're also the sideline reporter for Northwestern football, so I should add that. So
yeah, it gets complicated on the weekends. Yeah. So I say goodbye tonight, and I say I'll see you New Year's Day when the Bears fire their head coach. That's usually how it goes.
And you duck out of the celebrations because you have to cover the Bears head coach fire.
And now the White Sox duties go over to Mark Carmen, right? Is that how that goes?
I'm still going to be a part of it. He'll probably end up doing a little bit more than me the rest of the season. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I honestly, as we talk right now, don't know how it's all going to work out. But it'll work itself out. It'll sound good right now.
I'm here for you, Adam, if you need some backup. Just give me a call.
Let me just say this, that as a dad, I'm a very proud father. But missing these first couple years is not a great loss because all they do is poop and scream, and so that's basically what it is.
You bond with your child in this.
Yeah, okay, we'll get around to it. That's good, you know. The real bonding is after you start writing the checks.
I thought it was a couple of years, but then all of a sudden the other day he turned 4 on me.
Wow.
And I was like, how did they?
Oh. He's 4?
Oh.
Yeah. Get him a dog. Crazy? Buy some time.
Yeah. Yeah, because 5 is when it really gets good. It starts to get really good at 5.
They start telling you how they feel about things.
Yeah. And then they
don't worship you quite as much.
They become your little buddy, though, at 5. I think, and that's the thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
A daddy in there.
Yeah. And that's, yeah. Little and that's, boy. I think, it, yeah. Well, for moms, it's a totally different thing. You lose them at 5, and then you never really get them back. Maybe a little bit. You know, after college, maybe? I don't know.
They start criticizing things a little at 5 and 6. Like, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich isn't perfect anymore, and what you do for them isn't exactly
spread
great.
Spread the peanut butter all the way to the crust.
I know.
Mom!
You know.
Well, I mean, until they move out, actually.
Yeah,
then
that was
they start calling
that was
you.
Me last year.
Mom!
Yeah, you've grown up so much since then, though. That's great.
All right, but that's not why we called. We are, Kevin, I want you to repeat what you just said to me when you walked into the studio.
This is the most excited I've been for a Bears training camp in a while.
In a year. Almost a year.
Well, I was very excited about last year because we had the Trubisky storyline, but there's a storylines galore here, I think, when you break down this roster and this depth chart.
There absolutely are. This is my 8th year covering the team, and it's certainly the most interesting I've found this team going into camp. Certainly the last 4 or 5 years as they've been kind of slowly rebuilding without admitting it. That look, they are supposedly going to have a legitimate offense, and I think they will, to complement what has already turned into a good defense. That's the one thing, as tough as these last couple years were under John Fox and how many times we wanted to slap ourselves in the head watching what was going on, the defense was pretty good. And so if they can, you know, the big question obviously is Mitch Trubisky good or not? We're going to find that out very quickly because as we saw Carson Wentz and Jared Goff do last season, they took significant steps forward from year one to year two.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think he's going to be a bust, but I think we are going to get a good idea about how good he'll be with how big of a jump he makes this year.
He certainly seems to be saying all the right things. You know, I can help deliver what Bears fans deserve. I'm going to try to use my energy to motivate my teammates better. And kind of the things maybe we didn't necessarily see with Cutler so much, that team leader, motivational person who was rolling his eyes on the sidelines all the time.
What's
by
wrong
himself?
With you guys?
Yeah, I don't think Trubisky's going to be on a reality show anytime soon.
No,
guys. But look, here's some good things that I heard going all the way back to, man, I want to say it was even late January. Obviously you brought up the Northwestern stuff I do, so I know some people over there, and I had heard early on in the winter even that Trubisky was already working out there on his own, just trying to get any indoor field he possibly could.
Oh, because he was staying here.
Yeah, early in the winter he was still here. I don't know why. That's when you want to leave Chicago.
Well, but they have those like super agency camps down in Florida where all those guys go, and they play with other NFL players. And they
he ended up in LA for a good portion.
Yeah. There's one in LA too.
Yeah,
and
but
in Vegas.
In January and I think early February, he was still around here for a good while. At least while he was here, I know he was doing stuff in Northwestern. The point being, he was working.
He's working hard, right.
Yeah. He was working the entire offseason. I'm sure he took a break here and there. Hopefully he did. But the word I was getting from even within the organization, and I hate bringing this up because everyone immediately thinks, oh, you're comparing him to like the greatest quarterback ever. I'm not doing that. What I am saying is I have had the name Tom Brady brought up to me in terms of work ethic.
We have the name Tom Brady brought up to us every day on this program.
Yeah, today actually I did mention it.
but it has been, he has been described to me in that way in terms of the obsession with football. I don't know how good he's going to be, but the great quarterbacks are obsessed with the game. They're constantly working on their craft, and they're constantly working on with their teammates to get them better.
That explains Jay Cutler completely.
It really does.
That really does. Sort of like, I don't know, what am I supposed to do? Oh, that's right, the game. What time's the game at?
Yeah. He's looking at his deer cams and name.
I mean, he's an incredibly deer. That was the thing about
gifted
the
last, athlete.
Last thing I'll say about Jay, he was an incredibly gifted athlete, but he was so gifted, he felt he didn't have to work at it, and it showed. That's why he never won anything major. This Trubisky kid is, there's a fire in him. Mm-hmm. You see it. You see it in his eyes. You see the way he moves on the field. And he makes things happen. He has a sort of a spidey sense notion of things that are happening around him that you cannot teach. It's one of those things in football. He just feels the field differently. So let's hope two things here in the preseason. One, that they use him sparingly in things. You don't want to see him get hurt. Fans are going to want to see him. They have five preseason games here because of the Hall of Fame game. They're in that this year. Yep. It's just not worth. You put all those numbers where there's four guys with the number 99 on their backs. Put them all in there.
I'll go out there.
Yeah. I mean,
fill a roster spot.
Let all those guys play.
Adam, I think what Bears fans are excited too is Ryan Pace seems to have done just about everything he possibly could in terms of giving him some weapons, because last year there was next to nothing for him to work with. So they draft Anthony Miller. They go sign Allen Robinson, which, by the way, I don't know, Chicago has somehow become the ACL capital of the world. Jabari Parker signing. Allen Robinson blew out his ACL early last year. I guess my question is,
Dr. Sherwin Ho is here, though. That maybe that's the reason.
If you blow an ACL, call one of the general managers in town, you'll probably get a contract.
Right.
Do we know the health status of Robinson? Is he full go for training camp? And I realize there are question marks, but there are with everybody. We don't know exactly what they're going to have on offense. But you look at the roster, and it looks a whole lot better than last year. Talk about Robinson's health. Are we expecting full go from him at the start?
We are expecting him to practice Friday when they take the practice field in Bourbon A. That was really how it was presented to us throughout the offseason. He started doing a little bit right at the end of OTAs and minicamp before they took this six-week break, and he is scheduled to meet with the media tomorrow, which he has not talked to us since he signed. They were not letting him talk to us while he... Basically, any player who wasn't fully healthy in OTAs and minicamp was off-limits to us. So the fact he's talking tomorrow is another indication to me that he's going to practice on Friday. And you're right. I mean, overall, there are more weapons on that offensive offensive side of the ball. Now, to me, a big question that I'm going to be watching every day closely in Bourbonnais is how is this offense coming along? Because it's way more complicated than what we saw last year. That's a good thing, because what we saw last year was offense at its most simple, really didn't even qualify as an NFL offense, if we're being honest.
So, all right, here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
All right, you get the ball, and then you run to the right, run to the right. If that doesn't work, turn around, run to the left.
Coach Fox, haven't heard from him in a while.
I'm three.
And so with that becomes a lot more responsibility for Mitch Trubisky. And so it's going to be harder for him. It's going to be harder for the entire offense to figure it out, but ideally, it'll be harder for the opposing defenses to figure out, too.
Explain, first of all, how is Jaleel White? What's that guy's name? He's never played, so I've never met
Kevin White.
Kevin White, right. How is he doing? Is he good? Is he going to be happy?
If he blows his ACL, he'll get a new contract. He knows that, right? You know, on paper, Adam, because there are some question marks on the offensive side, but on paper, when I look at, I guess to me, the biggest question mark is the edge rushing positions. There's not a lot of depth there. Leonard Floyd really has to have a bit. It's Floyd and Sam Acho, and they took a flyer on Aaron Lynch, yeah. You know, basically a glorified special teamer. That's all they got on the edge right now. What do you expect from that, the pass rushing unit? Do you think they have enough there, and what does Fangio need to cook up to put some pressure on quarterbacks?
Yeah, I really don't think they have enough there. This is, to me, this reminds me of the wide receiver position a year ago, which was, man, if Cam Meredith and Kevin White get hurt, there's nobody there. That's kind of what this is again. If Leonard Floyd goes down, there's not a whole lot of options here. Yeah. And really, what is the second? I mean, you got to have a
good
quarterback.
Leonard Floyd is great, though. I mean,
when healthy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Leonard Floyd could be a monster.
Which is another big question this season. Can he stay healthy for 16 games and play at a Pro Bowl level? Because he's a top 10 draft pick, too, and we already know that Kevin White is not really going to live up to that status as a top 10 pick.
I think he's got a shot.
Right. John Fox is number one receiver in Fox's system. Yes or no, Roquan Smith is going to be good to go by Saturday.
What's going on there?
Usually, I don't want to get too technical, but usually what they're haggling over at this point is what they call offset language, which the best way I can explain this to you is if the Bears were to cut Kevin White tomorrow, the fourth year of his rookie contract is all guaranteed because that's what all the draft picks
are. So they're looking for guaranteed dough here.
So it's if Kevin White were to get hurt, and I know I'm talking about a different player right now, but it's the easiest way to explain it. But Kevin White, get cut and then sign with a new team, would the Bears be on the hook for that entire guaranteed contract, or would there be a difference based on what he signed? The reason I bring that up is because if 3 years from now Roquan Smith turns out to be a huge bust and is in a similar situation, this thing called offset language, that's usually what they're haggling over at this point in the contracts. So I think that's what's going on. Based on what the Bears' track record is with these picks, I would expect him to be signed tomorrow and ready to go on the practice field Friday.
All right, there we go.
But it is a little weird that it's still going on.
All right, Adam Hogue, our Bears reporter, our Bears insider.
Packing his bag.
Yeah. We'll see you next year. Bye-bye right. Now.
Yeah.
Good Godspeed. Hearing from you, Adam.
Well, I'll
always
see
good.
You guys a lot in the next 4 months. I will not see my family.
Right, yeah, right, just right. Tell give them, get, and they're a lovely family. It's a beautiful family. It's like a postcard
really
family.
Does have a beautiful
give them a kiss
family.
On their head, and we'll see you later. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
Let us guys. See. It already started with him. He's already too busy to be with the family. Kids are back there. Which one's daddy? All right, let's check in with Andrea, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour. All right, that's what I need you to do. Architect of Chicagoland.com, ARCHADECK of Chicagoland.com. All right, Patty Vasquez has stepped into the studio. What's coming up?
We've got a lot going on. I don't know about the talk about Trump tonight. I can't. I don't understand what's happening. So I think I'm going to move on. I think, although I loved that thing with Casey Kasem, and I was looking at audio of hot mic moments, and I forgot about Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, joking about how he was going to outlaw Russia, and they were going to start bombing in 5 minutes. Do you remember
right,
that?
Yeah,
I do. And then, but I didn't realize that Russia then sort of initiated a message that said they were going to attack the United States. So I was kind of thinking, about
those were the good old days.
Yes, yeah.
Those
that's all
days.
You had to worry
those
about.
The good old days when we didn't get along and we were threatening thermonuclear annihilation.
Yes.
I don't know what scares me more, then or now.
Yes.
No, we'd get the lung just fine.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. So I'm talking a little bit about that. And we've got our car guy, Warren Price, coming in. Today, and we've got a lot. Todd Belcour from the Social Change Foundation. So a lot of different things. So have a great evening.
Thank you.
It's beautiful out.